Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. Today we're talking about three books that you have to be reading your children. Hey, my name's Chris.
And my name's Matt. And we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do our best to raise our children to be good husbands, to be Catholic dads.
We believe that fatherhood will change the world, and it is. So let's dive in.
Chris is such a weirdo. Like, anyway, you guys that are used to the show are used to Chris, and that was classic Chris at the beginning. Chris, because of that intro, that indicates there's something different about this show, we definitely have a guest. So why don't we have our guest introduce himself?
Hey guys, I'm Matt Meeks. I'm the CEO of Catholic Ventures and founder of the Lion and Lamb Book Club for kids.
Welcome,
yeah,
Matt.
So, Matt, Chris. Thanks so much for being here. We ended up getting the old Lion and the Lamb box in the mail, and I got the lamb version, and so it's got it right there on the lamo. And so why is there lion and lamb? And I think there's another one, like, what is that? Hay? Like, what's
duckling is the lowest. The
duckling
version is the duckling. Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So hit us with the concept, and then we will share those three books that you need to be reading your kids in just a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have this idea for a Catholic book club for kids to help parents build libraries of just wholesome books for their children. And like everything that we do, Catholic Ventures is we're building technology and different products to serve Catholic families. And our whole thing is in service of the domestic church. And so we kind of were like thinking through what was the need of families and what are the sacred moments of the domestic church. And for me, that sacred moment is reading to my kids at nighttime, you know?
Yep.
And those are moments that we all remember from our childhood. So we wanted to help parents with those moments. We wanted to help them find good books that sorted through all the woke nonsense out there, all the books that are like just fad books or things that are trying to push ideologies on our children, and just find great Catholic and classic wholesome books. And so that was the idea. We deliver them every quarter. So every 3 months, you get 3 to 5 great, you know, kind of curated books in a box. And then in terms of the levels, and the name Lion and Lamb is scriptural, you know, we were just kind of like, we wanted Jesus to be at the center of this. And then, and so we prayed about it, and Lion and Lamb came to us. And then we thought, well, the idea is we want little lambs, which, you know, lamb and lion are both symbols of Christ, but lambs to become lions. We want to raise children into to saints, to adults of virtue and courage and all of that.
And everyone knows that, like, the duckling becomes a lamb.
That's right. How that is the evolution, right? Yeah. So we were like, what is a smaller lamb called? That's a duckling, you know? So, yeah.
Good.
Just through, we needed another cute animal at that point.
So just real quick, I want to hit up, this is one of the first books that that we opened up. Yeah. And again, we had the lamb edition, and this is The Empty Pot. For those of you who are in those states where it's legal, this is the only pot you want to talk to your kids about. So my kids, they jumped in and we opened the box together, and they like ran around the table we had it at. And they freaked out. The box, it presents really well when you open it up. It's got a lot of different things in there. But it was also filled with a few surprises, which was cool. The first one is stickers. And my kids, the candy and then stickers. Like if they went trick-or-treating for Halloween and they just got stickers, they would be just as happy. I wouldn't be, because I can't eat these when they're asleep. But there were just a few surprises in the midst of it that added a sense of wonder. And I think ultimately that's what storytelling is meant to do, and how it points to God. Like we, as children of God, are created for an adventure and should have a sense of awe and wonder. And stories do that, but also just the opening of the box. So I just want to tip of the hat to you guys on doing a great job just in regards to that initial presentation. That was well done.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we want to have like little fun surprises just for kids. You know, every time they get the box, there's something fun in there and they get excited about, you know, and associate that with the books and all of that. But stickers will be a mainstay. And the one piece of feedback, the only piece of negative feedback, so we've sent our first box, the only piece of negative feedback we've heard from multiple large Catholic families was we started like war among their kids because we didn't have enough stickers.
Four stickers, six children. Yep.
Not enough stickers.
Yeah, it was bad. So the next boxes will have many more stickers. There will be enough stickers to satisfy large Catholic families.
That's funny. And so the Catholic dad's watching this, you know, one, like it may be good for us to even talk about that idea of reading to your children, you know, and how important that is. But then two, like you guys going, maybe going out on a limb is part of it and doing this and trying this, you've got an immediate win right there with just the stickers. Even if nothing else comes from it, you've got an immediate win there, you know, Catholic dads, you know, that, so it decreases the amount of risk you have. If you have to go out on a limb or whatever and convince your wife to spend the money on this, you've got some potential for some immediate fruit. But maybe we should talk about that a little bit real quick, just like the reading with your children. It's not something that I do a whole lot of. I should do more. My kids love it. You know, when I do, I tend to defer to my wife to do it. But why shouldn't I do that? Like, why should I read more to my kids?
Yeah, well, and I think one, there's the busyness of life that we all get caught up in. You know, it's like we wake up, we have our routine, we got to go to work, we got to, you know, we got to bang out the chores around the house, we got to make sure the kids are off to school or whatever that is, you know, our wife is happy. And we get into these just like linear, you know, kind of paths throughout the day. And then, by the time we know it, you know, it's nighttime, the kids are asleep, and we're sitting next to our wife at the end of the day, and we're exhausted, we might watch a TV show and call it a day, you know. Mm-hmm. But in that process, where were those moments where we, you know, and you think about all the different love languages people have, and our kids have various different ones, you know, whether it's acts of service or time spent or physical touch or whatever that is. But like, where did you give any of those to your children? And I think reading time kind of satisfies all of that. You're laying next to your kid. They get to snuggle up next to you or sit next to you. You're giving them your time. They're asking questions about the book. It opens up conversation. You know, in the box we have discussion questions, which for like the duckling is really just like, use this as an opportunity to like hug your kid or tell them about Jesus or, you know, something tied to the book. For the lamb age child, like, how was your day at school? And like, have you seen any kids be dishonest, and how did you handle that? You know, it just opens up that time where you can have an honest conversation with your children and get into their day. And beyond that, it sparks their imagination. You know, like, there's a big difference between, and I used to work in the entertainment industry. So I've worked with video game companies, and I worked with Warner Brothers, and I worked with all these companies. So, you know, I struggled as a Catholic in that industry and eventually left, but they're creating these things that captivate your children's mind, but don't foster their imagination. So they make kids addicted to content and addicted to story, but those stories don't allow for the mind to like play with the story and go further. But books still do that. In a book, you paint the image in your mind, you travel into that story, you kind of create the story and kind of co-author it as you're hearing it. And So for all those reasons, I mean, you're fostering imagination, you're teaching virtue, you're spending time with your kids. It's just such an important moment for families. And I think it's important to help families carve out time and make that moment easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And finding the right book, you know, to be able to do that is not easy. And you've got a story for that I want you to share. But Chris, like, what are your thoughts on, you know, dad's reading?
Like, it's necessary, right? And floor time is so important, and beds, sitting on beds or sitting on floors. But the other piece is engagement, right? They get to see who you are, and you get to enter into their world a little bit together, because it's a shared world. You enter into a shared world. But what's cool is I voice each of the characters, you know, and sometimes my kids will be like, Dad, do your regular voice. And I'm like, sorry, this is the character voice. And there's this playful nature about myself to where it can be fun. So it's not just someone else's book is leading your experience. It's actually, like you said, a shared creation. And I have my kids, like, then they start to finish some of the pages. My younger kids, they start to finish and they know what's going to happen next. And that's where that love language, words of affirmation, come in, because they're now participating. You know, and you can ask those questions along the way. Do you think they were angry? Or do you think they were excited? And you can choose your voice. Anyways, I love doing story time with the kids. The challenge is we started with reading each kid a story, and now we have six kids, and I can't be putting kids to bed for 4 hours every night.
Yep.
And so some of these books in here that are more broad, that aren't just for, these hit a range. And so I can get my boys who are right next to each other and read them one story instead of having to do one each or whatever. I think it's good. And then statistically speaking, kids who are introduced to literature at a younger age tend to make more money later on in life, because it helps them in schooling and different things like that. So if you can't do it for love of children, do it for love of the retirement home that they're going to put you in. It'll be a nicer home.
It's an investment.
If you read them good literature, it'll be a nicer retirement home when you're in your 80s. So those are my thoughts.
All right, Matt, you had a story beforehand, you know, about finding the right content, you know, to read to your kids, or finding the right books. We wanted to hear that again.
Yeah.
So tell us, your experience of the local public library recommendations.
Yeah. And just so everybody knows, I run a business that the first thing we did was a online e-commerce site called Catholic.store. So we sell a lot of books from Catholic publishers. We connected all these different Catholic family businesses and rosary makers and Catholic t-shirt companies. And just the whole idea with Catholic.store was to lift up Catholic small business and Catholic businesses and help people find cool products. So, and I have some partners in that initiative that are also all Catholic dads. So my CTO has 8 children. My chief operating officer has 6. And we're all just a bunch of guys trying to help the church. And
raise kids.
Raise
good Catholic kids.
Raising good kids. You know, if all we do is that, then we're helping the church in a big way. So,
amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. So anyway, I go to the library. It's a block from the house. I walk my, at the time, he would have been 5. So he's now 7. My 5-year-old and I go to the library to pick up a book. We walk down there. We go in. There's a little recommended book section in the children's area. And there's this book that has 2 boys riding bikes on the cover. And Ralph's attracted to that. He grabs it and, "Dad, I want to read this book." And the librarian, you know, when we're checking out, says, "This book's great. You guys are going to love it. You know, it's one of our, you know, top books," and just goes on and great. So we check it out. I go home, and for whatever reason, and I don't do this all the time, but I decided to read this book first before reading it to him. And I'm glad I did, because I would have had to stop reading it to him. But basically the story was these 2 best friends who really enjoy spending time together. They feel funny and different when they're around each other. They like to have sleepovers and hold each other when they have their sleepovers together. There's something different going on in their relationship that they can't explain. They try to talk to their parents about it, and their parents try to stop the relationship. So by the end of the book, they ignore their parents, run away from home, and ride bikes off into the sunset. That was the story.
Wow.
And I mean, the real tragic thing of all of that is, like, the book wasn't supporting the right of the parent or the role of the parent in helping their child deal with complex things, you know,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
Let alone the agenda of what they were trying to say. Like, at the end of it, the worst part was the destruction of the family.
Absolutely. That
you're reading to children and your parents are bad guys, you know? And so, I was.
Well, and even if parents read that book, parents aren't reading and learning how to deal with that.
Right.
You know, because, like, that's going to happen in the lives of some, you know, some parents and some families.
Yeah.
And that book is not going to be a book that will equip them with regards to how to navigate that, you know, with
not at all. Yeah. Not at all. How can you, it just at every level, that book was like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And so I told my business partners about it, and they were like, "Hey, not surprising. We've encountered other books that do similar things. It's a real problem." And so we started talking as dads, you know, just like, well, how do we, like, we don't have time, you know, like, parents don't have time to read every book that their children are given. They don't have time to, you know, they don't have time to be a filter in this, like, fast paced, noisy world. And so we were like, well, we have access to all these publishers. We know how to get the books. This woman, Jessica, helps us curate our books. And she's a mom of 6, Catholic, and librarian. And she used to run a book blog, like, helping families find books. So like, we had connections to people that knew how to do this.
Yeah.
And so then we surveyed our customers from Catholic.store, sent an email out and said, "Is this something you'd be interested in?" And overwhelmingly, the response was like, "This would be really helpful for our family." So we just said, "We have to do it." And that was the genesis of Lion and Lamb.
Yeah.
So just to pause right there before some of our viewers who are like, "Where are my 3 book suggestions?" want to kill us. We already mentioned The Empty Pot. That was one that came into my box. The other one, my kids already took. Like, when we opened the box, they went to the 4 corners of the house. I cannot find this book. I imagine it's in the boys' room. It's called The Story of King Arthur and His Knights. And that's one where it's like sometimes God chooses the youngest and the smallest to be the king, and talks about that growth and that virtue and that journey. But the other one is one that I guarantee that people haven't heard of because it just came out, I believe, last month. And it's written by Anthony D'Ambrosio, who I believe is one of the business partners. Is that right?
He's not. So he's one of, he works with us. He's and not one of the partners, but Anthony is the founder of Catholic Creatives. And
that's right.
This book came out of the Catholic Creatives community. So Connor, who did the illustrations, is a member of that community. So basically, this book came from, just was given birth from a community of Catholic artists and creatives that kind of came up with the concept. Anthony kind of, he wrote it, he put it all together. And so we wanted to include that because it's going to be an unknown book that comes from a bunch of Catholics creating something cool.
So this is Beekle and the Star Stone. And so that's the third one that I would really recommend. This book, I would actually say, is more of a family book. I think you could sit there with almost all ages as opposed to middle ages. Middle ages, that sounds like King Arthur. But anyways, I think that's great. But with that, we have added these books to our library, right? We have a library of books. In fact, when I was grabbing them, I was like, maybe this is one of those books. And I grabbed the wrong book. You're like, no, that's not part of our thing, at least not this time around. And I was like, okay, so now we have these books that actually support the faith. Not all of them have to be faith-based, is what you were sharing. It's classics to build that literature library, but things that foster wonder, foster building towards that adventure of God's plan for your life or virtue and things of that nature. And so I'm excited about this because just in the course of a couple of boxes, all of a sudden I've got a shelf full of a different book every single night for a different kid. Like that's exciting.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. In terms of the mix, we try to go back, you know, like we definitely want there to be books in there that are Catholic. So books that help kids understand their faith, but that are not boring or lame. There's so many that are just not good. So we try to find really good ones that are great. We try to go back to classics, like finding books that might not have been published for 50 years and figuring out how to bring those forward. Or what are children's books, you know, that are classics that have kind of fallen out of the, you know, the cultural knowledge base, but they're awesome. So we go and find those new releases. We always try to have at least one new release in there. And then something that comes from, you know, like something that lifts up publishers or things like the Beekle and the Star Stone that are like, you know, self-published, really cool books that you might not find otherwise that we can get in there and give to people. So that's kind of how we come up with the mix. And then, it's fun picking the books, and it's fun. And then, you know, I use my kids as the first test market. So
nice.
I just think, you know, as a Catholic dad, you know, again, talking to the Catholic dads out there that watch this, there's like an amazing potential out there for what you can do with your gifts and talents. So I think about like you working in the secular world, probably fairly successful and not needing, you know, to change careers, especially to change to one that is potentially going to make a lot less money than what you were before. Yeah. You chose to use those gifts and talents and the experience and the wisdom that you had to lift up the church, to transform the church, you know, in your area. Like I had never heard of Catholic Store before this happened. You know, Chris, had you?
Yeah, I had.
See, I hadn't, you know, and I don't know if that's because Chris is a bad advocate, you know, of what you do, Matt. But that's something I'd never heard of. And my guess is there are dads that are watching this and never heard of that, about that either.
Did you get a sheet in the box that came to you? Well, it's literally written on the sheet.
I heard about it like through this is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Before that,
All right.
Had you heard about it before the sheet, Chris, or did you just
still
lie to everyone?
Still yes, but okay. I'm a jerk. So there you go.
But that kind of thing is just, I don't know. It's inspiring. I think it could be inspiring to other men out there, other dads out there. That are working in the world and maybe are real frustrated, and not everybody's going to be able to, or is even called to leave, you know, secular work and do something like this. But there may be some that are that may be fearful of doing that. What was it that pushed you over the edge, and how did you discern that? Like, I don't know if that's even, does that make sense of what I'm asking?
Yeah, for sure. Well, for me, it was interesting. I wasn't really like when I was working in Los Angeles and that industry, like working advertising, entertainment, and technology, kind of in that mix of things. So I was single. I wasn't yet married. I was putting in crazy hours. So it's like, it's such a grind. And I was working on content that was not aligned with my faith, but I constantly struggled with, am I called to be a light in this industry? You know, is that even possible? Yeah. And some level of arrogance within me thought maybe I could be the guy to help change entertainment, you know, like, uh-huh. but at least maybe I can change a few people there or be a light to a few people there. And so I'm going with that. I'm struggling with, you know, that my job was bringing eyeballs to content that I didn't agree with. You know, I ran a team of people tasked with driving tune in and to content that wasn't necessarily aligned with the faith. And so I kept, you know, really wrestled with this with my spiritual director. And I think I just prayed and was really open to what the Lord was doing and like really open to a radical change, because I knew that I didn't feel like I could do this forever. And I felt like on a long enough timeline, I'd get lost in the system, you know, like it would wear me down or break me down. Yep. And then it became pretty clear. I took a trip to Rome. I got an email to go to this meeting in Rome out of nowhere. And that was like one of those God moments where it was like, okay, so I did that. That was actually harder than it was helpful, because I saw all the politics of Rome and I just had this naive view that everything's perfect. There's all these saints walking around and I'm going to see angels or something. It's going to be awesome. So I got on the plane coming back. I felt like I just got kicked out of a tornado. You know, and at the eye of the storm in Rome was just our Lord and the Eucharist. Like it was just, there was this gravity there that was so strong despite all of the business of Rome, you know? And so I get on the plane coming back and I just said to the Lord, like, I'm dumb and proud and stubborn, and you got to hit me over the head. Like if you want me to stay in entertainment, make it known. If you want me to do something completely different, make it known. Like you got to hit me over the head. And so I get in line in customs to come back, you know, at LAX, and right behind me in line from a different trip walks Archbishop Gomez. And that kicked off the me going to work for the Archdiocese of LA. Wow. So, you know, it's like, I think if you're open and you pray and you put it out there, like the Lord, and then you're truly open, you surrender to his path, he's going to guide your steps, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to tell you where to go.
Wow. So that was your first step out of the secular world. And then what were the steps that led to this?
You know, just Archbishop would call me for advice or have people on his team call me for advice on things after that.
Okay.
So over time that eventually led to a conversation where it was like, well, maybe, you know, you keep asking me for advice, maybe there's a job for me here, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how that started. And then, I have a brother with special needs and my family's in Denver. So I was living in LA. I got married. We had our first son. I'm living in LA working for the Archbishop. And I'm a co-guardian of my brother with my mom. And I knew that I'd always have to kind of like, eventually I'd be brought back to Denver to be closer to my brother and help my mom out. So anyway, as that was kind of progressing, then an opportunity at the Augustine Institute popped up, and that was in Denver, and everything just kind of lined up and that made sense. But all along for me, I had this struggle in my heart that like, there's all these great initiatives in the church. There's so much good stuff happening and so many good people doing it. But the thing that drives me crazy is all these people competing with each other or taking each other's ideas or, you know, and it's like, and you almost see like, the struggles that we have in the world magnified in the church because the devil's trying to divide and conquer, you know, and all this stuff. And so John 17 from the beginning of my time working in the church has been on my heart, which is just Jesus's prayer for unity. And he says, you know, that all might be one so the world will believe. So I believe the evangelization of the world will come from the church figuring out how to work together.
Yep.
So that led to me starting Catholic Ventures. I was talking to a mentor of mine when I was at the Augustine Institute, who's a Silicon Valley venture capitalist who's Catholic. And just telling them, you know, like, we need these things in the church that bring people together. We need platforms like Catholic.store that lift up small businesses. We need the book box that gets Catholic publishers or authors out. We need things that take all these disparate parts and put them into a box or put them onto one site or one app and help get it out. And my mentor said to me, well, why don't you do it? You know? And I said, well, because I got a family and, you know, Augustine Institute pays the bills. And he goes, if I gave you $100,000 today, would you quit your job? And I just said, I don't know. Anyway, that happened a couple of days later. I came back to him and said, yes, I will quit my job. And next thing you know, we started a company. So
awesome.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. In regards to that process and that entrepreneurship spirit and things like that, has there been pushback? Because I know you mentioned that unity and there seemed to be some cannibalism going on in the church to where it's like we're fighting for the same customers instead of fighting to raise the soul of those people. Have people been like, I don't want to be a part of the platform, I'm going to go my own way? Or how has it been in seeking to unify what is typically not traditionally received, even in towns that have two parishes? They're like competing with each other instead of chasing after all the unevangelized.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, that exists. And those are basic human dynamics. I don't think we can do away with it. I think I'm just trying to build a gravity of, you know, people networking and showing that working together works better than going solo or fighting the system, you know, fighting each other. And so for the most part, I would say, you know, people are very excited why wouldn't you want, you know, to be listed alongside other great Catholic businesses or, you know, be in a box with other great Catholic publishers and, you know, get into family homes and, you know, so for the most part, I would say people are incredibly receptive to it.
Good. Good. Awesome. How do people find you? Like if they want to join the Lion and the Lamb book club, the box, where do they go?
Yeah. So you just go to Catholic.store. So instead of .com, it's .store. And then right at the top, there's a banner image that just directs you into the Lion and Lamb page. So you can go Catholic.store. And then if you don't see it there, Lion and Lamb's all over that site. You can search for the product, type Lion and Lamb, and it'll bring you right in to learn about Lion and Lamb.
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, however we found you, I don't know if y'all found us and reached out. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that we had you on the show. It's fun to hear your story, you know, just even of what you chose to do with your faith. I think it's inspiring to dads out there. And I think, you know, inspiring dads to sit down and spend time with their kids and read with their kids, is a great thing. And you've equipped us to do that, you know, so that's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on, you know, and thanks for all that you're doing for Catholic dads. You know, it's I meant it when I said it, that if all we do is love our wives and take care of, you know, raise up good Catholic children, we're beautifying the church and saving the world. So,
yep. Amen.
Thanks for what you do.
Now, if someone wants to get a hold of you or ask you a question, do they just have to go through Archbishop Gomez, or what's the best way? What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
If you go, this is another website. If you go to Catholic.ventures, so that's the parent company that's doing all of this. There's a contact form there, and that goes straight to my email. So all you have to do is go there, type whatever you want. It'll go straight to my email, and I'd love to hear from people. So people should feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Hey, listen, we want you guys to share this with others. We want you guys to like and subscribe. If you're still here, subscribe. We'd love to have some new subscribers. And think of one book that you would add to the list and comment below. We'd love to see whatever age your children are. What's the book that's landed for you from the books that you guys have been reading? I do want to kind of close my piece with this quote by C.S. Lewis. And it's this. Since it is so likely that children will meet cruel enemies, let them at least have heard of brave knights and heroic courage. Otherwise, you're making their destiny not brighter, but darker. Reading helps your children encounter those brave knights and that heroic courage, and it's a great way to be a Catholic father. Matt?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless.